Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. We often hear about the impact climate change, development, and other factors can have on the plants, birds, and animals that live in the First State and the habitat that supports them. But the new edition of the Species of Greatest Conservation Need offers a much deeper dive into the risks faced and how serious they are, offering a picture of which species face the greatest threat. DENREC's Division of Fish and Wildlife is currently taking public comment on the draft report before making any revisions and delivering a final report. This week, contributor John Hurl digs into the report, examining what it tells us and what actions it could prompt in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And he recently joined me to discuss his reporting. So, John, let's start with a quick overview of what the Species of Greatest Conservation Need actually covers. What does this report tell us, and how often is it updated?
Well, we can see this as the state's kind of accounting of natural species that it considers to be of different levels of conservation need. What it covers is, in no particular order, animals, birds, fish, insects, reptiles, and amphibians, and for the first time, plants. It lists these species in a series of tiers, the number one tier being the level of the greatest conservation need. And it's published every 10 years. So this is the state saying, well, these are the species in all of those categories that we think deserve the greatest protection.
As you noted, this is the first time plants are part of the report, correct? Is there a reason why it was added, and what is it covering?
Well, it's not clear exactly why it's added, but about 300 species of plants has been added to this overall species list for the first time. And what that's doing is that's swelling the overall list to about 1,000 species. Now, just to attempt to put that into some context, I was speaking with Samantha Robinson. She's a DENREC staffer who's heading up this whole project. And she noted that, even in a small state like Delaware, the fact that there are something like a 1,000 species that the state considers to be to varying degrees worthy of significant protection, conservation, that tells us a story that things aren't looking so rosy.
Is it fair to say, John, that the trend lines have largely worsened over the last 10 years since the last report was put out? And if so, is there a sense of what's driving that?
Well, yes, it is fair to say that things have got worse, that there are more species that are deemed to be in need of conservation. And there are numerous examples in the list of species that have now that had been at lower levels of conservation need, or maybe they hadn't been on the list at all, and have now been sort of bumped up. As to what's causing all that, what's underlying is habitat loss. That's the essential condition that these species, whether they be animals, birds, fish, insects, and so on, are dealing with. So then you ask yourself, well, why is habitat being lost? Well, it won't be as a surprise to anybody that climate change is one of the factors here. And in Delaware's case in particular, you've got sea level rise. As a very low-lying coastal state, significant areas of beach and coastal marsh are being lost and making life more difficult for the species that depend on them. Now, we should also mention here development, whether it be coastal development or other development, and that's often invited by municipalities who quite understandably are interested in the tax revenues that come with allowing the development of land for residences or for commercial premises. We should also mention that the problems that invasive species are causing. These are predominantly invasive species of plants, and these sometimes or quite often were species that were introduced into the US from overseas many years ago, planted in all innocence in people's yards or whatever, because they were seen as being, pretty decorative things, and now they're out of control. And the reason that that's a problem for this big list that DENREC has just published is that they crowd out native species. And that means, for example, that certain species of birds that depend on native species of shrubs and trees and so on have a harder time finding food. And so there exists a growing imbalance. And speaking to people who attempt to eradicate invasive species, this is a huge problem for Delaware's natural environment. And to my knowledge, nobody has really come up with a significant solution to that yet.
So, John, are there some specific examples of species that face the greatest risk on this list and just how serious the risk is for them?
Well, yes, there are many species that are at the highest level of conservation need, and some of them are really vanishingly rare. So one of the example is a little bird called a black rail. Now, that is one of the rarest birds in Delaware. And I was speaking with Greg Shriver, a professor of ornithology at the University of Delaware, who said that there may be, in fact, only one breeding pair of these birds left in Delaware. Perhaps at Prime Hook, nobody really knows. And the reason that they are so rare and that their population has declined so sharply in the last 20 years or so is sea level rise. Because these birds have very specialized requirements for the areas that they will live in and breed in, and those are coastal marshes. And if those environments, there's even a few more centimeters of sea level in some marsh, then they will then that's probably going to drive the birds out. And so, unsurprisingly, that particular species, the black rail, is at the highest level of conservation need in the latest list. And the species of greater conservation need are not confined by any means to birds. I mean, for example, there are three species of sharks which have been moved up from tier two to tier one in the latest report. And other formerly familiar species of fish, bluefish, for example, has gone up from level three to level one. There's also, just as another almost a random example, there's a kind of a dragonfly called the comet darter that's also been pushed up from level three to level one. So these will all have been affected by damage to their habitat in different ways.
Indeed, some alarming stories there. But you also note in your piece that it's not all bad news. Are there some species that are actually seeing some improvement? Can you offer an example or two of those?
Well, indeed. I was speaking with Samantha Robinson. She mentioned something called the big brown bat. Now, that was previously on the list. This time around, it's been removed. And the reason is simply that biologists, the scientists that contribute to this report have concluded that there are actually more of this kind of bat in Delaware than they previously thought. So it's been removed from the list. There's a kind of a bird called a white-faced storm petrel. It's a seabird. That's been removed because though that it's only an occasional visitor to Delaware, and so it's not really there's no conservation strategy that could realistically be applied to that species, and so that's also gone from the list.
So, John, this report provides a lot of information. I guess the questions that come from that is who's getting it, how can they get it, and what can they do with it to attack these issues once they have it in their hands?
You know, the problem of attempting to reverse habitat loss is a very big one, and there's not a whole lot. Conservationists, whether they be part of the state government or whether they be private nonprofits, can actually do. But there are a few things that and this may move into the realm of policy. that can be done. So one of them would be that the government would, or nonprofit, private nonprofits, they could seek to increase their use of easements on properties, and those are legal agreements under which the property owner agrees not to allow development on their land in perpetuity. The land remains privately owned, but the owner has agreed to keep it natural. So that's one way in which natural habitat can be preserved. Policymakers may also be in a position to protect coastlines. And so if a natural coastline is conserved, then that might allow, for example, coastal marshes to migrate inland as seas rise. That is the natural process that occurs. I mean, and if it does occur, then maybe the species that depend on those marshes are better able to survive than they would be otherwise. The alternative to this is what environmentalists refer to hardening of shorelines, and so that would be building, man-made structures like jetties or piers or bulkheads, which actually prevent the natural cycle that we just described. And so this if we can reduce the amount of coastline hardening, then that will help defend the species that are at issue here.
Of course, all these type of efforts cost money, and one potential hurdle to making progress is currently the uncertainty of federal funding for things like this. How much do we know about the status of federal funds for conservation and the potential impact of possible cuts in this area?
Well, as for the potential impact of possible cuts, those could be quite significant. One of the examples that I've heard from conservationists is the state-supported project to monitor the annual shorebird migration through the Delaware Bay. Delaware Bay is an internationally renowned center for shorebird migration, and the state has played a big role in accounting that and keeping that going over the years. That has been supported by federal funding. It's unclear right now whether that federal funding will still be available, or at least to the level that it was in the past. So, and I checked in with DENREC, and they're saying that they're still uncertain. They don't know whether they're going to get the federal funding they seek.
Let's drill down a little bit. Is there much the average person can do to help, but beyond advocating for policy changes and funding, can you do something in your backyard that'll help some of these species fare a little bit better?
Well, I think you absolutely can. And one very encouraging story I heard was from a gentleman called Steve Cottrell. Now, he is the president of Delaware Audubon, and so he's obviously a dedicated environmentalist, and but particularly focused on birds. What he's done, he has built some artificial chimneys for a bird species called chimney swifts, which are summer migrants. For the second year in a row, he's had nesting chimney swifts in his backyard. And the reason that he's chosen to build these artificial structures is because he knows that the chimney swift is one of these species in trouble. By the way, it's at DENREC's highest conservation level. And also that the chimneys in which they traditionally nest are being increasingly capped. In 2024, he said that 19 chimney swift young fledged from his artificial towers in his backyard. When I spoke to him about a week ago, it was still too early to tell how many of those would actually fledge. But so that is a way of illustrating that individuals can actually make a difference. And it may not go as far as building artificial towers in your backyard. I mean, you could just make sure that, for example, that there's no invasive species in your yard. And if there are, rip them out.
And replace them with native species.
Indeed, and replace them with native species. That's exactly right. So I think that it's fair to see this report as a reminder that, you know, there's some serious work to be done here, and even if the odds appear to be stacked against certain species, there are things that individuals can do.
Having said all that, John, what's the level of optimism that some real inroads can be made in the coming years to protect, especially those species that are at most risk?
Everything that I just said about individual efforts still applies, but in the big picture, you know, it is a little bleak. As we said before, there are more. The list is bigger than it used to be. There are more species at the highest level of conservation need, and I think overall there is. It seems like the odds are stacked against many of these species, but there are things that people can do, and whether they be lobbying lawmakers for more protective laws or building chimney swift towers in your backyard, people can still do that.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece on the new Species of Greatest Conservation Need report is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. The Green continues in a moment with a look at new University of Delaware research that shows plastic bag bans and fees are helping reduce litter on coastlines. That's next on The Green here on Delaware Public Media.